The following worship service was recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Crishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan tradition in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by now, most of our homes are decorated with Christmas trees, bright lights, ornaments, and with gifts for everyone in the family. But as Christians, it's more than just that. It's time to remember your gift. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." Help us to keep Christ and the Christmas story at the center of our celebrations, especially as we enjoy the gatherings and glitter. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Verse 25, "But had no marital relations with her until she had borne her firstborn son." Her firstborn son. Until she had borne her firstborn son. Jesus will be the firstborn of Mary, but not the last. He would have brothers and he would have sisters. In some religions, they don't believe that Mary had any more kids. Well, I'm sorry, but we have the book of James that at least we know he's got one half-brother. So, you know, we got some other ones named throughout there. So it's important that we see that this was her firstborn son. And that lets us know there are more to come, but that he is the first. Now, we're going to talk about Joseph a little bit today because Joseph gets no press during Christmas. I mean, we talk about Mary, and I'm going to do that Wednesday, you know, on Christmas Eve. Tuesday. But I want to talk about Joseph today, and the Lord will only know what's going to come out, because the way I've been going so far this morning, I don't know where this, because here's the problem. This is supposed to be part two. So I'm trying to put two into one and condense it so that you don't go to sleep or feel like you need to retire from a job while we're having one service. So here we go. I want to talk about Joseph. Joseph gets no press. Joseph gets hardly any recognition. We hear that that's why they have to go back to Bethlehem and all of these things. But we need to know two things about Joseph and about Mary is they were considered righteous. God considered them righteous. So what is righteousness? How many of you can define righteousness this morning? You can speak. Self-righteousness, that's right. I'm so good I don't need anything else. Yeah, Yeah, we all know what self. How many of you enjoy those self-righteous people in your life? Oh, come on. I'm not the only one that wants to poke them in the eye. You know, it's just. Have you ever wanted to do the Larry Curly and Moe thing? And just get, you know, poke them? Now I'm getting too old. You don't even know who that is, do you? You got to put your hand up. You see someone poke you in the eye, you get your hand up here. Then you can get two. Anyway, that's the way it goes. So you got to remember, we'll experiment after church, Dick. So Joseph gets no press, but righteousness is not something you earn. It is something God says of you. We go all the way back to Abraham. Abraham was doing all kinds of stuff. Abraham was a liar. Abraham was a cheat. Liar. He just did all kinds of stuff. I mean, he told them that his wife was his sister. She got took into harems. And there was all kinds of bad things went on. But Abraham was considered righteous. And then we run over to David, who's kind of mentioned here with Joseph. And we get over there and we find David, who is righteous. God declares he's righteous, yet he had an affair with Bathsheba. He had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, killed. And he did all kinds of crazy stuff. He was just not a good person most of the time. But he was considered righteous. And then we run over here to Joseph. Who is Joseph? Joseph is a carpenter. He's an older man, and he's got this 16, 15, 16-year-old girl he's promised and he's engaged to. Now, what do we think about that in times gone by? Was that not questionable? How many of you daddies and mamas would want some 40, 35 or 40-year-old man coming to get your 14 or 15-year-old daughter? But he's considered righteous, and now we got this girl who is pregnant by this fabulous story. Prior to being married, it's bound to have been her and Joseph got together. I mean, can you believe the story? She's prayed up by God. You know, we know how that works, right? You know, we, birds and the bees and all of those things and stuff. We got that, right? So she, but Mary is considered righteous too. So righteousness, evidently, it doesn't depend on what we do. Because if we earn it, guess what happens? We won't get it. So what is righteousness? Pardon me? One who loves God. It's counted unto us as righteousness. You may have something, Anita, because God said that David was a man after his own heart. But let's see if we can find it in the next. Jesus will say, what is the greatest commandment? Anybody remember it? To love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, your mind, your body, and soul. And don't leave off this. Don't divorce it from it. And your neighbor as yourself. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute because the disciples said, who's my neighbor? You know, they went off that hook right away. So we're going to have to talk about that in a minute. So now let's find out if we can figure out righteousness then is something that God does for us and it's based out of God's love. How many of you realize that you can love somebody but they don't have to love you back? You know, it comes down to that two-choice thing. You can love somebody and God, who does God love? Everybody. Kathy said it in the opening piece, for God so loved the world. His love, Wesley calls it prevenient grace. God's love is out there. All you got to do is accept it. All you've got to do is accept God's love, but there's a condition to accepting God's love. How do you prove you've accepted it? Accept His Son. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Because here's the deal, you can't receive God's love in a condemned and fallen state. You have to accept Christ as your Savior, then you can receive God's love, and then you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now there's communication and mutual love. Love begins with God. What do we say about God? God is love, right? Love, my ability to love my wife, my ability to love my children, my grandchildren, comes out of and stems out of my love for God. Because God's love is eternal. God's love is perfect. And my response to that is to accept Christ as my Savior. That restores my relationship. You need to understand this. When a sinner prays who has not confessed their sin and accepted Christ as their Savior, the only prayer God hears from them is, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and I'm accepted near Savior as my Lord. That's the other prayers don't get out of the room, church. A sinner can pray all day, and they're still going to go to hell until they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's what Christmas is about. We get that? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and that's what Joseph does. Now, what is belief? I'm getting to the sermon now. I'm getting all the groundwork laid. What is belief? What you know, what you trust, what you've learned. Now, I'm going to move this into the belief for just a minute of just everybody that's out there. How many of you have beliefs that you hold on to, things you know, things you've experienced, things that are part of who you are? Get a pencil out, and we'll give you four things. I will give you four things that inform what we believe. Wesley called it his quadrilateral. We're just going to call it the four corners. You pick that phrase for it. We could go to Johari and get the box out, and we won't do all that stuff. Joe and Harry, do you know who those were? You don't know who Johari was? Johari? Go look it up. I'm not going to tell you. It's hyphenated. I will tell you that much. So go look it up. So now, for us, the first thing is, as Christians, the first thing that should inform our belief and those things that we believe should be the Word of God. That's the first thing, Scripture. Wesley will say Scripture is the first thing that informs us, and it is also primary in what we believe. And it is the way God has revealed himself to us today is through his word. So the first thing is word. That informs our belief, right? This puts the guidelines. This puts the parameters. This is it, right? This is the authority for our groundwork. The next thing is tradition. We talked about it. You thought I was just throwing that word tradition, and the Holy Spirit was leading you to say it too. Tradition is what has worked in the past. What has stood the test of time? I believe something will work because I've experienced it working before, right? You know, I know that I believe a fire will burn me because I burned myself before. It fires us up. The third thing then is, if you will, you've got Scripture, you've got tradition, and the next thing is reason. Some common sense. Man, is that missing in the world today? Have you been to a parking lot lately? Jeepers. Trinity fussed at me yesterday. We pulled in out in front of the ball parking lot. She said, you didn't park very well. I said, I did better than most of these people. I mean, I bet none of these people can color because they can't stay in the lines. And you know what else is just absolutely, it's mind-boggling. How many of you have saw the newest iPhone that's out? Some of our young people have. And people are just really, they're just excited about this new phone, this new technology. Samsung's got, they always do this for Christmas, you know. They always drop all this new technology for Christmas. These are people that are excited. They don't know how to work a blinker, their signal light lever. I mean, it's a simple device. Down is left, up is right, middle is turns it off. You know, going down the interstate, click, click, click. You don't have to come in or not. And Lord help you, they got the right one on you. So, no, you shouldn't turn off right there. You know, there ain't nothing out there. So how could you drive down the road and your car going click, 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 and it not bother you? And that little light in there doing that little winking thing at you. It just, you know, some reason, common sense. Some things are just common sense. You know that if you put your hand on a hot stove, it's going to burn. There are some things. So we've got Scripture. We've got tradition, what has worked. We've got reason, what, you know, just some common sense. And the next one is experience. What have we experienced? What have we found out? What have we figured out? This experience thing is important. So many times people are repeating the same mistake and doing it the same way, expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. You know, so we've got these four things. Wesley called them his quadrilateral. These should be informing our belief. But Christians have, so now we've kind of got the idea of belief. And here, let's put it in practical application. Norma, can I pick on you with a battery? Okay. I was in the office on Wednesday, and Norma's got this really nice car. And I actually do admire it. And we actually thought about these kinds of cars. And Norma, you really believe that that car is going to start every time you put that key and turn it over, right? You hope it does. So, but you really, based on your experience, based on a little common sense, because I've taken care of my car and all of the things, not the scripture. We can't put scripture in cars yet. Maybe we should put a Bible in there just for better luck. But anyway, how many of us do that? We believe that that car is going to start. We really, because it hasn't shown us anything different, has it? It's always started. We have confidence in it. And then we go out of the post office and we hit our switch. And what happens? It doesn't start. Here's belief, church. Write this down. Belief is the beginning. And it begins with a relationship with God through Christ Jesus that's based in love. God's love for us and our love back. Then it begins to grow as that relationship with God grows. It becomes informed by scripture, tradition, reason, and experience, just like the driving of a car, the expectation that it's going to start. But church is just belief until we turn the switch. Then it becomes faith. Belief is that abstract, what we have put together, but until we test it, it's just that. It's cerebral, it's knowledge. But when we turn the key on, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, and our belief can change based on new information that we assimilate, and that will change our actions. Joseph is a righteous man. He's a good man. And he's found out Mary's pregnant, and we're not arguing here whether it is or not, and it doesn't matter. Joseph at this point knows that, you know, whatever story it is, it's irrelevant. I don't want to embarrass her. I don't want to cause her any problems. I want to just let this go. Let this just go quietly. I don't want to cause a big scene. I don't want to cause any disgrace. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put her away. I'm going to put her away privately. Joseph has made up his mind. Joseph goes to sleep that night with his mind made up of what he's going to do for this Mary in his life. Joseph's mind is made up. It's a righteous act. He's trying to do right. He's trying to do the best he can. But that night in a dream, the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for this child that she has born is going to be the Savior of its people, and you will name him Jesus. And Joseph awoke with new information, and he put his faith into work, and he took Mary to be his wife. And he had no relationship with her until after she had this baby Jesus. And when Jesus was born, Joseph named that baby Jesus. Yahshua. So, belief is informed by the four things. But until we put it to work, James will say, faith without works is dead. So for us as Christians, the basis of everything that we believe is love. God's love for us and our love and relationship with God. And our key to all of that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is another gift to us uniquely as Christians. that gives us a connection and a way of communication with God, that inspires His Word to come alive, that fosters relationships around us. It leads us into what we should do and what we should do, and sometimes what we should just be still and do nothing. It is that relationship with God based in that belief that God informs, grows, and causes our actions to change. As we're exposed more to His Word, as we're exposed more to others with the Holy Spirit, as we sit in groups and talk and chat and live and experience life, out of the love we have for God, we can love others who aren't really lovable. We can forgive others who really it is hard to forgive. For it is with Christ and our relationship with God and the power of God and the guide of the Holy Spirit that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It isn't about what we do and that we get it perfect, but it's about loving God with our whole heart and for us as Christians in the name of Jesus. That's what it is. Folks, I got news for you. None of us are perfect, even as much as you think you might be. You know, as much as you can find wrong with everybody else's life. The reality is, my best day is as a filthy rag in front of God. But by God's grace, through God's love, even me, a sinner with yalla suspenders, can share with you a message on a Sunday before Christmas about God's grace. Take your belief and hold it firm, but not so firmly it can't receive new information. Take your bulletin out. On the left-hand side up next to the top. This is uncomfortable for us, but, oh, I better get some glasses. I can't see that at all. Let's say it together. It's right under our faith theme for 2019. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Change is a challenge. Challenge forces us to trust God. Trusting God makes us healthy. Healthy things grow. As Christians, we may be able and need to be able to assimilate new information, new experiences, but we go back to the test of four things: Scripture, tradition, reason, experience. Let us be informed as we move forward in our faith, but let us remember it isn't faith until we move forward. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, belief is difficult, for it's sometimes hard to sort through all of what's going on in the world around us. But Father, need we not look there, but look unto You. Look unto Your Word, unto Your children, our brothers and sisters. Our love to reach out for You in Christ Jesus, to accept Your magnificent, wonderful love in our lives. Father, it's a love I can't comprehend. I cannot explain. But I can tell everyone here today, I know God's love for me. And Father, let that be the first place where our belief begins. May that be the rock on which we build our faith. May we inform our faith through the study of Your Word. And may the Holy Spirit let it come alive in our reading, in our hearing, and in our sharing. And Father, as we're informed in that, may we look back and know what has stood the test of time: love, grace, mercy. And the greatest of all is love. And Father, we just thank You today that we can base our hope in You, that we can base our eternity in You, that no matter what we may face here, You are greater than whatever it may be. For the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, "What shall separate us from the love of God?" Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Father, remind us that to love our neighbor as ourself is to love those who are our neighbor, who love us and who we love, those in our church who call us brother and sister, those who share the faith journey with us. They are our neighbors. May we hear the cry of the needy that they would become our neighbors. May we have pity and compassion for the lost, that they would become our neighbors. Father, you desire that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. May we sing the praises of Christmas, and may we look forward to the next time you come in victory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may God's grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. May you celebrate Christmas in your heart, and may your faith, may you turn on the key. Take your belief and put it to work and love your neighbor. And may God's grace and peace go with you and bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.